الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد حي على السلام حي على حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعم يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا
اس آیت کا ترجمہ ہے کہ یقین اللہ تمہیں حکم دیتا ہے کہ تم ایمانتے ہیں ان کے حقداروں کے سپورٹ کیا کرو
اور جب تم لوگوں The translation of this verse is Verily Allah commands you to make over the trusts to those entitled to them and that when you judge between men you judge with justice and surely excellent is that with which Allah admonishes you Allah is all hearing All seeing. As all the Jamaats are aware, this is the year in which the elections are taking place in the Jamaat. These elections take place every 3 years. The Umara, that is the Amirs, the Sadrs, and various other office holders are elected. In some Jamaats, these elections have already begun. In larger Jamaats, the Majalis-e-Intikhab, the election committee, is elected and currently these elections are taking place. These Majalis-e-Intikhab subsequently elect their office holders. Thus, in order to efficiently run the administrative structure of the Jamaat, where on the one hand these elections are necessary, there on the other hand it is also extremely important to elect the right person who will fulfill the dues of the position, in order to efficiently run the administrative structure of the Jamaat. This matter is so significant that in the Holy Quran, Allah the Exalted has drawn the attention of the Mu'mineen, the believers, towards this. He explains in detail the type of office holders that one should elect. The office holders have also been reminded that it is insufficient to merely hold an office. In fact, he would have to fulfill the right of that position. In the case where he does not fulfill the right of that position, he will incur the anger of Allah. In the verse which I recited, this matter has been explained. The first responsibility mentioned is our fulfilling the right of imparting an opinion, as holding an office is a trust. Thus, exercise your right of vote for that person who is best suited for the position. You should take this assessment before casting your vote to consider that whether the person you desire to vote for or are voting for is even capable of holding that office. Does he have the qualities and capabilities to discharge the right of that position, or does he not? The greater the responsibility to be entrusted to a person for which you have gathered to provide your opinion and recommendation to the Khalifa of the time, to that same degree, you would need to deliberate, reflect, and offer prayers. It should not be the case that you merely vote for the person because you are fond of him, or that you only vote for the person because he is your relative, or that you only vote for that person for the reason that he is amongst your brotherly, your clan, or from the caste of Sheikh, Chaudhary, Sayyid, Pathan, or Rajput. No personal interest should stand in the way in the elections of the office holder. God the Almighty will not only hold to account the office holder regarding why he did not perform his work in a proper manner. In fact, Allah the Almighty would even question the voters, and they will be questioned regarding why they did not exercise their right of imparting an opinion in a suitable manner. In the latter part of the verse, Allah the Almighty has stated, "Inna Allaha kana sami'an basira." Allah is all-hearing, all-seeing. This also applies to the voters, meaning that if you are not familiar or properly acquainted with the candidate, then you should supplicate to Allah the Almighty, "O Allah, enable us to cast our vote for whoever in your view is the best for this office." When this prayer is offered with sincere intent, Allah the Almighty, who is Sami'ul Basir, the All-Hearing and All-Seeing, will listen to that prayer. It is stated that Allah the Almighty is also Basir, the All-Seeing. He has full knowledge of all your actions. It is impossible to deceive God. He knows what is deepest in the hearts. So thus, when the Jamaat of the believers supplicate to Allah the Almighty and elect their office holders, subsequently Allah the Supreme becomes the helper of the Mu'mineen, of the believers. In the Jamaat Nizam, the system and administration, it is our tradition that before every task we pray. Prayers are also offered just before the elections. If purely you seek guidance from Allah the Almighty and you conduct the election proceedings, consequently Allah the Almighty bestows His grace and blessings. Therefore, every voter must comprehend the right of his giving his vote and of imparting an opinion. Further, he must rise above all forms of personal inclinations, personal preferences, and personal friendships, and should present his recommendation to elect a person for whichever responsibility it may be for. Old Ahmadis are already aware, however, it should also be clarified for the new Ahmadis and the youth that in the election, it is a recommendation or opinion that is given. The final decision comes from the Khalifa of the time. At times, despite the majority recommendation for a particular candidate, due to particular reasons, another person is chosen. It should also be clarified that the final decision for some local office holders, if is given by the Amir of the country, that is because it is permitted in the rules. He has a right to decide against the majority recommendation. However, the Umara, that is the Amirs of the country, should generally respect and honor the majority opinion or recommendation. A point that needs to be noted, especially by the UK, the other countries of Europe, the USA, Canada, and Australia. Which is that even in the local elections, at times, in fact, the rules permit that in the local elections, the national emir can make changes if he decides to do so. However, in the aforementioned countries, for the elections this time around, if any changes are to be made, they would have to seek approval from me first. They will obtain permission from here. The Umara will not make changes on their own. In Pakistan, India, and in other countries, according to the usual rules, can proceed with the approval process for the elections. In terms of the national amla of countries and also certain other office holders, approval for their office in any case is obtained from the Merkaz, from the Khalifa of the time. In this verse, Tawaddul Amanate ila Ahliha has been mentioned, that make over trust to those entitled to them. This also applies to office holders. There are certain tasks in which people are appointed by name without any elections having taken place. There is, for example, the office of secretary, Rishta Nata, or there is his service. Or in certain departments, certain tasks are entrusted to specific persons. If the Amir Jamaat or the Sadr Jamaat or the relevant secretary entrust such work to a person, it should not be on the basis of personal preferences or friendship. In fact, a comprehensive analysis should be undertaken of all the members of the Jamaat. Subsequently, whoever is discerned to be the best amongst them should be given that responsibility. If not, it would just be nepotism, and this is shunned upon in Islam. However, if somebody entrusts a task to a friend or relative, and it seems as if he has the talent and capability for that responsibility, then those people who habitually raise objections without reason criticize that he has given the office to his friend or relative. Thus, such persons should not make such criticisms in this case. To be a friend or relative of an emir or an office holder is no sin by which he should be deprived from giving service. I have clarified these points because there are some people who at times raise such objections and send them in. Then Allah the Almighty has said to the office holders, Tahkamu bil adl, that discharge whatever office you have been conferred with or whatever task you have been entrusted with justice. If you do not do this with justice, and if you do not do this with fairness, if there is favoritism, or you give greater consideration to those near to you or your relatives, or that you interrogate or call to account one worker to a greater degree than required, whilst you overlook and ignore the other worker. In such a case, justice would not be established. And when there is no justice, there is no blessings in such work. Instead of good results emanating, bad results emerge. Further, this matter does not only pertain to those who are working with you. In fact, your dealings with every single member of the Jamaat should be based on justice. You should make decisions thus accordingly. It should not be the case that such and such person is a friend of someone, or someone is a relative of another person, or belongs to a certain family, as a result of which you treat him in one way whilst you treat others in a different manner. If such a manner is adopted, it creates anxiety and restlessness in the Jamaat. Further, if the Khalifa of the time instructs for a report to be sent, the report should be accurate. The instruction given here is of tahkumu bil adl, that you judge with justice. However, if an incorrect report is sent to the Khalifa of the time, then this would lead to the Khalifa of the time to make a wrong decision. By making him give a wrong decision, you would be making him sinful along with yourself. That person in any case would become one. So thus in Jamaat activities and tasks, all these points should be borne in mind. Every task and every service given should be endeavored to be carried out with deep deliberation and trustworthiness. In short, holding an office alone is no greatness. In fact, it is an immense responsibility. Whilst praying, there is a need to discharge one's responsibilities. Allah the Almighty states that He is Sami, He hears your prayers. In particular, when one prays to fulfill the commands of Allah the Almighty, most certainly, Allah the Almighty confers His help and succor. Just as Allah the Supreme sees completely over one who imparts His opinion and gives His vote, in this same way, He sees completely over an office holder. If an office holder does not discharge his responsibility, if they do not make their decisions based on justice and fairness, if they do not fulfill their tasks with due justice, then Allah the Almighty, who sees everything, says, you will be questioned, you will be held to account. So thus this is a matter of grave fear for every such person who has been entrusted with some service or the other. People have a keen desire to hold an office. However, if they knew what an immense responsibility it was, and by not discharging its right that they could incur the anger and even wrath of Allah the Almighty, then every office holder would, to the greatest degree and to a level more than others, would spend his day and night offering istighfar, seeking forgiveness of his sins. Every office holder should bear in mind that after receiving the votes, or after receiving approval for their position in that office, they are not free. In fact, they are bound in such an obligation, by not fulfilling which, or by not discharging in accordance with their capabilities and qualities, they could incur the displeasure of Allah the Almighty. Every office holder must discharge the right of every individual member of the Jamaat, and he must discharge the right to the Jamaat collectively as a community. This is because every office holder should consider that I am an office holder of the Jamaat. Any type of weakness on my part could affect or impact the Jamaat. It could defame the reputation of the community. This is why he also needs to discharge this right. Further, he must set his personal example. Alongside discharging religious obligations, he needs to also set his example in fulfilling worldly obligations. He cannot say that this is a personal matter of mine, I can do whatever I please, because it has no link with the Jamaat. For this reason, I am free, I can do whatever I want. Every office holder must comprehend that even his person in every single matter comes under the Jamaat's interests. Therefore, this is the way of thinking that every office holder must inculcate. And those who exercise the right to vote or to express a recommendation or opinion should elect such people who think in this manner. In other words, it can be said that one should endeavor to elect an office holder whose level of taqwa is elevated. If we claim, after having accepted the Imam of this time, that we are going to raise a standard of our righteousness. If we pledge that to a greater degree than others, we are going to discharge our responsibilities that have been entrusted to us. Then, with deep concern, we would have to fulfill our Jamaat responsibilities. Allah the Almighty states, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَاؤُونَ and who are watchful of their trusts and their covenants. Therefore, every single person needs to keep in view this commandment of Allah within their own circles and spheres. You should not discharge your responsibilities entrusted upon you in a cursory manner. In fact, you need to go in depth to keep in view all minute and finer details and discharge your tasks. So thus, the voters should vote for such persons who are serious in their work. And the elected persons should discharge the right of their responsibilities to the best of their abilities. The pledge that has been made to give precedence to the faith over the world should be abided by to the greatest degree by office holders at every level. As I already stated, many a person have a keen desire and are passionate to hold an office or serve. One should not hold the desire to hold an office, for this is in any case against the teachings of Islam. If there is a passion to serve, and if one desires to serve, and then a service is entrusted or an office is assigned to him, then those who will serve or those who are the office holders should remember that he cannot fulfill his tasks without adhering to all his pledges. How can his pledges be fulfilled? At what level will they be discharged? And what standard should they be discharged at? Regarding this, the Holy Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, in this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty has stated, in other words, in this verse, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاؤُونَ those who do not only possess the quality or excellence of overcoming the nafs-e ammara, the self that incites to evil, and have thus obtained triumph over its passions. Rather, they try as far as possible to be mindful of every aspect of all trusts and all pledges of God and His creation, and try to tread the delicate paths of righteousness. They stay on this course as much as his strength allows. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, the word ra'un in this verse means one who takes care and shows regard. In the Arabic idiom, this is spoken when a person follows intricate paths in any matter in accordance to his strength and wishes to fulfill its every minute and finer detail and does not wish to leave out any aspect. Thus, in essence, the verse signifies that believers who tread the fine paths of righteousness to the best of their abilities and do not wish to leave out any aspect which relates to trusts and covenants, and they regard taking care of all of these things with everyone. They do not become joyous in broadly considering themselves truthful and honest. That they consider themselves Ameen, trustworthy, or one who fulfills his promises. In fact, they are constantly fearful lest they unintentionally commit any breach of trust. They continue to reflect as best as they can on all their matters, lest they have any inner defect or flaw. And taking due care of this, in other words, is called taqwa. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, in short, these are the believers who are not free in their matters, be they regarding God or be they regarding the people. In fact, owing to the fear lest they are held blameworthy in the sight of Allah the Almighty, they take extensive care of their trusts and covenants. They ever scrutinize their trusts and covenants and regularly examine their inner condition microscopically through taqwa, for fear that covertly their trusts and covenants may have some defect. They employ the trust they have been given by Allah the Almighty. For example, all their faculties, their limbs, their life, their property and honor to the best of their abilities, bound by taqwa, righteousness and with great care at their appropriate time. They are ever engaged with supreme honesty and as far as possible to try and fulfill the promise they made with Allah the Almighty at the time of accepting faith. Similarly, as best as they can, they implement with righteousness whatever trusts of people they have or matters that come under jurisdiction of trusts. If there is any decision to be made or conflict, they resolve it in view of taqwa, even if they incur loss in making that verdict. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says further, the entire spiritual beauty of man is by walking along all the finer ways of righteousness. They are the attractive features of spiritual beauty. It is evident that to be mindful of the trust of God Almighty and to fulfill all the covenants of faith and to employ all faculties and limbs, both overt, like eyes and ears and hands and feet and others like them, and those that are covert, like the mind and other faculties and qualities, on their proper occasion, and to restrain them from coming into action on improper occasions, and to be warned against the subtle attacks of vice, and to be mindful of the rights of one's fellow beings, is the way of perfecting one's spiritual beauty. God Almighty has in the Holy Quran designated righteousness as a raiment or a covering. Thus, libasu taqwa is an expression of the Holy Quran. This is an indication that spiritual beauty and spiritual ornament are achieved through righteousness. It is righteousness which means that one must be mindful even of the smallest details of the divine trusts and covenants, and also of all the trusts and covenants of one's fellow beings, as far as it may be possible. That is, one must try to fulfill, to the best of one's ability, all the requirements in the minutest details. Thus, unless the standard of taqwa, righteousness, is high, one cannot discharge the rights of his covenants and trusts. As the promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated, these trusts relate to those of Allah the Almighty and of His people. An office holder in particular is considered to be amin in the discharging of both these rights, that is trustworthy, and he is. Therefore, I once again draw the attention of the members of the Jamaat, who are going to elect their office holders, that while supplicating in prayers to Allah the Almighty, provide your recommendation or opinion for those persons who discharge both types of trusts and covenants. This can only occur when the level of righteousness or taqwa of all the Jamaat is high. It is only when the standard of taqwa, righteousness of all the members of the Jamaat is high, can this state arise. Thus, every member of the Jamaat must self-reflect and needs to make efforts to improve and elevate their standard. As I stated, that the office holders will be elected by the members of the Jamaat, and the office holders will be elected from amongst those members of the Jamaat. For this reason, all those qualities that every single one of us should possess as a mu'min, a believer, and must be possessed particularly by an office holder, I shall mention just now. there is the fulfillment of covenants and pledges. I first of all draw attention towards this. If the level of adhering to pledges in the Jamaat is extremely high, it is then that the standard of the office holders fulfilling their pledges will be very high. Where there is weakness amongst the rights due to man, include not fulfilling one's pledges. In other words, as a result of not fulfilling one's pledges, the rights are not discharged. If even one has to endure hardship, he should do so in discharging this. This is what the promised Messiah alayhi salam has stated, and one should strive greatly to discharge this right. There are many trade or business agreements. Those who criticize immediately make objections against others, however their own matters are not completely clean. As a result, this creates disorderly circumstances in the society. Islam is a peaceful and peace-loving religion. To the degree which Islam has emphasized this point, to that same extent do we find in Islam the breaking of these pledges and the examples of disorder. As a result of living in that society, its effect is also coming upon us Ahmadis. Covenants do not only relate to outside trade or business pacts. In fact, they are pledges everywhere, external and internal, and even on the domestic level. There is the covenant between a husband and a wife. This is also a covenant, but even in this, they deceive one another. As I have said many times before, there are some people who perform Jamaat work in an excellent manner. However, they are not fulfilling the right in their homes. This also is disregarding the pledges or disregarding abiding by them. In accordance with Allah the Almighty, this is worthy of chastisement. Allah the Almighty states, إِنَّ الْأَحْدَ كَانَ مَسْعُولًا, meaning that one day or the other, most certainly, they will be questioned regarding every covenant. Allah the Almighty has explained that the sign and a hallmark of a sincere person and true believer is وَالْمَفُونَ بِأَحْدِهِمْ إِذَا أَحَدُ, that those who fulfill their promise when they have made one. Thus, if every Ahmadi wants to elect pious office holders, they would have to take a self-assessment at every level. That to what extent are they themselves fulfilling their promises? To what extent are they themselves discharging their trusts? Then Allah the Almighty has stated that in order to form a beautiful society, it is necessary to take care of one another's sentiments. Thus, it has been stated, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. And defame not your own people, nor call one another by nicknames. Talmizu does not only mean defame or slander, in fact it has wide-ranging meanings. We see that at times, some office holders do not keep control over their emotions. They sometimes, to their colleagues or those working under them, say such things which hurt their feelings. At times, those of weak faith not only turn against that office holder, in fact, they develop aversion to the Nizam of the Jamaat. Allah the Almighty states, لا تلمزوا, do not defame or do not slander. As I stated, there are various meanings of this, such as to push back or aside, to compel someone, to beat someone, to lay blame upon someone, or to criticize someone wrongly, to try to find faults and shortcomings in a person, and also to say inappropriate things to another person, or to speak to someone in a manner which he displeases. Thus, if office holders do not take care of these points, then what else will happen with that person who is being treated in this manner, except that he will harbor ill feelings against the office holder and the Nizami Jamaat? Similarly, by saying Tanabuzu bil Alaqab, that do not call each other or taunt each other with nicknames, meaning that do not call another person such a name which he displeases. In other words, that respect and regard every single person. Thus, this is a major quality which should be found in every office holder. This is actually a general instruction. Every mu'min, every believer should be bound by this, that his character in the society should be such that it fosters love and affection. Office holders, however, should give special and due regard to this. Another quality is of an office holder is that they should very carefully and cautiously spend the finances of the Jamaat. There should not be excessive spending or wastage under any circumstances. Thus, in particular, in those departments where there is greater expenditure and their budgets are quite large, should not only consider their budgets. In fact, they should endeavor to derive the maximum benefit from the least expenditure. For example, there is a department of Ziafat and of the Langa. There is a department of Jalsa Salana. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam's langar, is now established in practically everywhere in the world. The Nizam, or the administrative structure and system of the Jalsa Salana, has now also spread almost everywhere in the world. The heads of both these two departments need to take great care, even if there is still room in the budget. An assessment needs to be taken, and efforts should be made to spend the least amount. This is actually the manner of discharging the right of the trust properly. This is the proper manner of discharging the trusts. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, was not concerned about the income or sufficient finances. He was concerned that people should spend it properly. Thus, the umara and the relevant office holders need to give special care to this. Further, another quality that should be possessed by an office holder, which is in fact the hallmark of every believer. But as these office holders are entrusted with responsibilities of the Jamaat, it is their duty most of all that they should refrain from vain and idle things. Allah the Almighty states, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ, that believers are those who shun all that which is vain. The best amongst the mu'mineen, the believers, should have the highest standard, that they should save themselves from all types of vain things. They should not indulge in useless conversations. They should not sit in such gatherings where others are laughed at and ridiculed. There are even some office holders who sit amongst each other and speak about others. They ridicule and mock them. Thus, one should be saved from such things. Nor should office holders sit in such gatherings where religious traditions are not given due regard. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, this means that believers are those who cut themselves off from vain and idle connections. By removing oneself from vain and idle things is the means of establishing a connection with Allah the Almighty. In short, to disassociate the heart from vain and idle things is to connect the heart with Allah the Almighty. Thus, the standard of taqwa is raised high when one establishes a strong connection with Allah. Further, Allah the Almighty states that miserliness and stinginess is something which does not behove any mu'min believer. Office holders may save themselves from excessive spending, and they should adopt moderation. However, this does not mean that they should become stingy and miserly. Where there is a need, and a justified need, expense should be made there. It should not be the case, however, that one is extremely generous with one person, but with someone else, he is very stingy. one quality that should especially be found in an office holder is that he should control his anger. Ghazi Min al-Ghaiz. Allah the Almighty has given this special command that sometimes in certain circumstances one does express anger. However, a person should suppress his anger. When there is a case of the interest of the Jamaat at stake, then sometimes anger needs to be shown for the sake of reforming. However, to become angry at small and trivial matters and to not give regard for the honor of those working with you is not acceptable for an office holder under any circumstances. Nor should it be. In fact, a good office holder should keep this command of Allah the Almighty in view. That قُولُ لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, that meet people with kindness, with consideration, and in a cheerful manner. If office holders adopt this attitude, then some of the complaints that are sent regarding office holders would automatically end. Then there is another quality found in an office holder, that he treats those who work with him and his subordinates in a good manner. Offices of the Jamaat are not worldly offices, that there should be a superior officer-subordinate relationship. Every person who serves the Jamaat, whether he may be a subordinate, works with a passion. Thus, the office holders with their subordinates and those who work with them should treat them in a good manner. If they make a mistake, they should be explained to in a loving manner, rather than like a worldly officer to scrutinize them harshly. Indeed, if someone displays excessive audaciousness which is causing harm to the Jamaat, then either he should be warned in an appropriate manner. But if he does not desist, then he should not be given any work. He should be reported to the senior officers and even released if required. However, there should be no such atmosphere formed where needlessly, in the offices or places of work, groupings form. One of the outstanding moral qualities of an office holder is to extend respect to guests. This is also a high moral quality. Every person who comes to meet an office holder who enters into his office should be met with respect and regard, and he should be seated with deference. This is extremely important. If he enters into the office holder should stand up and meet him. This moral quality is for the elected office holders and also the permanent office workers of the Jamaat. When an office holder implements this, his respect increases, it does not decrease. Further, amongst the qualities of an office holder, one quality is that they should be humble and modest. This is a quality which an Ahmadi should generally instill in their nature as a hallmark. An office holder, however, especially should develop humility and humbleness within him. Allah the Almighty states, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحًا, and walk not in the earth haughtily. God does not like arrogance for even an ordinary person. So thus those people who are offering their services for the sake of Allah the Almighty, Allah could not like arrogance for them for even one single moment. Thus all of our office holders must to the maximum degree adopt this quality and should meet every single person with immense humility. Further, it should be remembered by particularly those office holders who have the task of making decisions or bringing about reconciliation between people. For example, there is the Islahi Committee or the Qaza. They should remember this command of Allah the Almighty. اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Be always just, that is nearer to righteousness. Thus every decision should be based on justice. Sometimes decisions I have seen are brought before me, but they have not been deliberated upon in depth. The person with regards to whom the decision was made becomes restless and anxious. If there is a clear-cut commandment in the Sharia based on which the decision was made, then that should be clearly cited and noted that because this is a command of the Shariat, this decision was made. Qazis in particular should take a special care of this. It is also necessary, particularly in those areas where there are needy and poor people, that they should be looked after in accordance with the resources available. To look after their well-being is the responsibility of the relevant umara and office holders. It is not necessary that such people make requests, but in fact, one should make assessments themselves. This is amongst the obligations of the umara and sadran. One immense responsibility of every Amir, of every Sadr, of every office holder is of Ta'maruna bil Ma'rufi wa Tanhauna anil Munkir, that enjoin what is good and forbid evil. So thus, every office holder must always keep in mind Ta'maruna bil Ma'rufi wa Tanhauna anil Munkir. This cannot happen until every single office holder takes a self-assessment and ensure that he practices what he preaches until he develops the fear of Allah within him, until he searches for those paths of taqwa, righteousness, which Allah the Almighty has drawn our attention towards. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam has said regarding taqwa, to just perform a few acts of virtue or to refrain from only a few vices does not entail righteousness. In fact, it is to adopt every single virtue and to desist from even the smallest vices, which is taqwa. Thus, these are the standards which once achieved, we can become those who enjoin goodness and forbid evil. We can become those who fulfill the rights of our trusts. May Allah the Almighty, to all the members of the Jamaat, to all office holders who have been elected or who are about to be elected, and to me, enable us to discharge the rights of our trusts and covenants.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.